Good morning. It's time to get up with a farewell to Pittsburgh. Big Ben gets emotional after winning possibly his last game at Heinz Field. We've got all the highlights. And then there are the lowlights. Baker Mayfield awful on Monday night. Is it time for Cleveland to send its former top pick packing? And disappointment in Dallas. Are the Cowboys heading towards a quick out in the playoffs? Our analysts are weighing in as we say good morning to you. I'm Ryan Smith, in for Mike Greenberg here on Get Up. Thank you so much for joining us. And we got a ton of football to get to with this fantastic crew. Jeff Saturday, Dominique Foxworth, Dan Graziano joining us. Marcus Spears will be along in a minute. And we will start with the game of the night, the Browns and the Steelers in what was likely Big Ben's final home game. There he is, walking out on Heinz Field, possibly for the last time. And look at the fans. Thank you so much, Seven, getting emotional before the game and during the game. Third and 10, second quarter. Big Ben to Chase Claypool, brought down, but he's missing something. How about his shoe? Jadeveon Clowney throws it away. There you see him going down, and Clowney just grabbing onto his shoe, tossing it, unsportsmanlike conduct, keeping the Steelers' drive alive. Later in the drive, first and goal from the five, Roethlisberger. Deontay Johnson, 257 career touchdown at Heinz Field, then fired up. Later in the second quarter, Browns with the ball on the 36. Baker throws it away to the Steelers. It's been like that all season. Look at him. Oh. Browns will kick a field goal, 10-0 into the half. Third quarter, same score. Steelers on their own 22. Najee Harris gets into the secondary, and watch that. The massive stiff arm before being brought down after a gain of 30. Just tosses him away. Steelers will go on to get a field goal, 13-0. Mayfield right here to David Njoku. Touchdown. Steelers cut it to 13-7. Fired up there. Fourth quarter. Steelers up 19-7. And watch T.J. Watt coming off the corner. What a night it was for him. Fourth sack of the game. 21.5 on the season. Big Ben saying, yeah, I like that. Later in the drive, though, Mayfield dropping back and the touchdown to Harrison Bryant. Browns cut the lead to 5, so Big Ben says, let's get it going. After a failed onside kick, he's back on the field. His family fired up. They need one final first down to put it away, and they get it. Harris breaking it off, rumbling all the way to the end zone, and the celebration begins. They go up 26-14. Roethlisberger, a hug from Mike Tomlin. Baker had another interception, so Roethlisberger back on the field, and he takes possibly that final knee on Heinz Field. And then the moments began. There's Big Ben afterwards, overwhelmed. The fans, it isn't goodbye. Happy to see you, though. And look at him. Number one, celebrating the fans right there, giving high fives. His family comes out on the field, gives him a hug. Obviously an emotional time there. There's the family right there. And then what a scene that is, walking off hand in hand with his family as the Steelers win it 26-14. Here he is after the game.
I didn't think I was going to take the field again, but it's the best play in football when you're an offensive player is to take a knee. And so I'm glad I got to do it one last time.
One last time. How do you leave this place, Ben?
I don't know. With a win. So thankful and blessed to be able to call this place home for almost half my life. In front of these fans and seeing all the signs, and there's no place like it.
What a moment that was for one of the all-time greats to play the position. The Steelers, however, they're staying alive for one of the remaining two final AFC playoff spots. They'll need a win in Baltimore on Sunday, along with the Jaguars upsetting the Colts, plus the Chargers-Raiders game can't end in a tie. So they're still alive for all of this. But let's bring in our crew to talk about the man of the hour here, Big Ben. And Jeff Saturday, I ask you, what is Big Ben's legacy in the game of football?
Oh, man, just a tough Pittsburgh-type player. I mean, think about all the times you've seen guys draped on him. He's holding up, bodies littered all around him, and he's making that laser-like throw. I think it just, you know, it goes with Pittsburgh-style football, man. He's a tough-minded player. He's done everything for that organization, winning Super Bowls. But I think for me personally, I have one very painful memory where he's tackling Nick Harper in the 2005 playoffs, the year they go on to win the Super Bowl, and somehow he makes a miraculous tackle where he's basically running an S route down the middle of the field and still is able to swipe at Harper's leg and tackle him. You're seeing it right there. I'm still devastated to this day about that play, but that's how I'll ultimately remember Ben Roethlisberger. Not only a good quarterback, the best tackler in the business to make that play.
Oh, man. Just look at him. I mean, he really redefined the position in so many ways. We hadn't seen a quarterback in such a long time being that big, doing the things he could do. And now it might be his final game at Heinz Field. Now, that was the good side of it, guys. There was the other side of it, which was Baker Mayfield. And, boy, he had a rough night. He talked to the media after the game, addressing his health after a rough outing against the Steelers.
It's not going to always be pretty or smooth, but I'm a fighter. If anybody ever questions how much I want it, just turn on this tape. I've continued to lay it out on the line when I haven't been healthy. I tried to fight for our guys. And right now, I'm pretty damn beat up, to be honest with you. There's no way around it. I gave it everything I had tonight.
It was far from pretty or smooth. And you know what? What he had was far from enough for what the Browns needed. Dan, what's the latest on the Browns bringing back Baker Mayfield?
Well, look, they're on the hook for almost $19 million, fully guaranteed for next year on that fifth-year option. So even if they wanted to bring in another option to play quarterback for them next year, they'd have to figure out what to do with that, what to do with Baker and his salary. So the Browns are going to have to make a plan this offseason for what they want to do at that position. There are some veteran options potentially available and some high-profile ones that we have talked about ad nauseum. The Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers possibilities out there for some teams. But if you don't get one of those guys, then you have to assess, right? Do you pick up another option in the draft and try and groom him while Baker gets one more chance? Look, he has played hurt. There's no question about that. He's had that shoulder issue all year. It's possible that they do bring him back if they can't find a clear upgrade, but they do have that $18.858 million albatross on their salary cap that they have to do something about because they picked up that fifth-year option.
So big dilemma for Cleveland. Neek, look, we've savaged Baker Mayfield all season long. He has not had a good year, far from it. But what should the Browns do with Baker?
Yeah, I don't think they have much of a choice. I think right now, given the options that they have, Baker should be the starting quarterback next year. If you look back at his history, while he's never been like a top five in the league quarterback, or he's never quite lived up to the number one overall pick, he has been good. The idea that Baker Mayfield can't be mediocre to slightly above average, I think, is absurd. He can do that. He's shown the ability to do that when he's healthy. And hopefully the rest of the team, frankly, can step up also. The defense didn't live up to the hype. The receiving core didn't quite live up to the hype that we thought early in the season. The only thing that kind of worked out for them was their running attack, which is about the running backs and the offensive line. So I think they bring Baker back. Stefanski goes back to the play action and run stuff that he knew works well, and hopefully a healthy Baker making consistently good decisions, which includes throwing the ball away when you're under pressure and not getting sacked from behind and getting hurt. Like, all that stuff is part of it. If they can coach some of that stuff out of him, maybe they can get him back to the pretty good Baker that he was at one point, and everyone else can step up and they can be the team that we all thought they were going to be this season.
Yeah, and that's a good point right there, who we thought they were going to be. And, Jeff, the other side of this is he says he's banged up. There's no Jarvis Landry. There's no Odell. Kareem Hunt was out. The team has been banged up on offense a little bit. But still, we had such high expectations for these Browns. So can they be a contender with Baker at the helm?
Yeah, they can definitely be a contender, and I think Dominique said it best. I mean, can he be an average to slightly above average quarterback? We've seen him be able to do that. He's won playoff games. He understands what it takes to get there, but it's going to require an effort around him to bolster that, right? It's going to be a good defense that did not live up to expectations. It's going to be about that run game and making sure guys can stay healthy in that game and then open up the play action pass. This was a organizational failure. It was not just on one player. And the other part of it, he was severely hurt in week two trying to make a tackle. I mean, that's a long season to play in the situation that he played in. Again, he did not play good football this season. He did not live up to expectations of the team as a whole, did not. But I don't think you can cast it on one player. And unless they can go get an Aaron Rodgers or a Deshaun Watson or a Russell Wilson to come in, I don't think there's a lot of options that you really go above Baker Mayfield. To Dominique's point, I think he's that guy unless you can go get one of those big three or one of the other guys who comes in that would bolster your offense right away. I think he's as good as you can get. You got the $18 or $19 million, like Dan said. Let's ride with it and see if we can turn this thing around.
You know, it's interesting the words we're using, average to above average, good as you can get. And Dan, this is not the kind of language we're looking to use when we talk about a former top pick in the NFL draft.
No, he had a good year last year, right? Did what they needed him to do. They had an excellent year as a team last year. This year, a disappointment. So if you're the Browns and you're assessing this, and again, I don't know where they'll land when they make their offseason evaluation here, but you go back 4 or 5 months, this is a quarterback they felt they could win with, that compete for a championship with. Has this year changed that? They have to decide. But yes, with number one overall pick, obviously you're hoping for something more like, honestly, Ben Roethlisberger's career than what we're seeing so far from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, we will see how this all plays out in Cleveland, and we'll see if he ends up playing next week. That remains to be seen. Now, coming up, how does the loss of Antonio Brown impact Tampa Tom? Can Brady and the Bucks win another Super Bowl without AB? Plus, if you thought the Cowboys' offense slump was over, think again. Will it be one and done for Dallas in the playoffs? We'll answer that question. And we've got large men throwing around other large men into the ground, some of them bouncing off the ground. Jeff Saturday hands out his favorite pancakes of the weekend. That's coming up next on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up, and what a bizarre story this is. One day after erupting on the sideline and leaving during the Bucks-Jets game at MetLife, Antonio Brown was spotted here, taking in a Grizzlies-Nets game. There he is right there, in Brooklyn. Now, his former head coach, Bruce Arians, was asked if he had any regrets about what happened with Antonio Brown.
No, I have no regrets. I just hope the best for him. Very hard. And I wish him well. I hope if he needs help, get some. And it's very hard because I do care about him. I care about him a bunch. I hope that he's okay.
Let's bring our guys back in. Also welcome in Marcus Spears with us now. Swagoo on set. Dan Graziano, I'm going to start with you. It's interesting because the Bucks haven't released Antonio Brown yet. What could be at play here?
Well, it's really about money, right? And if you cut him, how much do you have to pay him? A vested veteran can earn his salary fully guaranteed via termination pay. But if he's not in good standing at the time that he's released, then they may not have to pay it. So I think they're working out some of the clerical issues with regard to how much they'll end up owing him before they actually decide what the designation is with which they cut him.
All right. And Swag, I'll bring you on this. What do you make of this situation surrounding AB and what you're seeing?
It's so many conversations going on. One, what was the conversation between him and Bruce Arians? Second, obviously the mental part of things that we've all kind of acknowledged that it's just not rational. His decision-making has not been rational for a long period of time. But when you get to the point of what happened in the game against the Jets, he quit on his team. And that's the most egregious thing you can do, because teams will look at that and say, you had a teammate come over and try to convince you. You had guys on the sideline that vouched for you. You enjoyed this. You were a Super Bowl champion with this team. And Tom Brady has stood on the podium for you a number of times when a lot of the league already was out on who Antonio Brown was. But this was ridiculous, man. It's stupidity. And I don't know if that stupidity is a result of things that he may deal with personally and mentally, or it's just stupidity that we've seen from Antonio Brown a number of times with incidents in the NFL. And we can continue to talk about Antonio Brown's mental health, and that's serious. That's something that we all have to acknowledge. But the bottom line is, Antonio Brown knew what the hell he was doing. Like, all of the aftermath should tell everybody what Antonio Brown was doing and what he was dealing with. Stayed in New York. You just talked about he on the sideline of a football game. Now, that can also play into he's not thinking on the same level that he should be, or he's not acting rationally on the level that he should be. But the bottom line is, when we talk about football and Antonio Brown and what transpired in that game with him leaving, that's stupidity, because he's been a guy in this league that's been given chance after chance to have an opportunity to play in the NFL after doing things that would get a lot of guys kicked out. And obviously his talent made way for him. But the bottom line is, man, it's a number of conversations going. But Antonio Brown did what Antonio Brown does, and I should have listened to Foxy last week.
So, Neek, right. I'll let you weigh in. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by this. As Swagoo mentioned, last week we talked about, can you trust Antonio Brown on the field? And I said, no, you can't trust Antonio Brown anywhere. And it came to fruition. I think the Bucs are probably in a better place now that this happened now than had it happened in the middle of the playoff game. They were still able to beat the Jets without him. So it was going to happen. Something was going to happen, because it seems like the latter part of Antonio Brown's career in life, something always happened. And I understand, like, I consider myself a empathetic, thoughtful, compassionate person, and I want to have that compassion for Antonio Brown and whatever he is going through, but damn, it's hard. It is hard. He is making it hard.
Absolutely.
When you are doing topless jumping jacks across the back of the end zone. Like, I don't know, how am I supposed to, followed by all the other incidences that he's had, from credible accusations of sexual assault to throwing furniture out of windows, like, to quitting on previous teams, like the Raiders situation. Like, it is so hard for me and all of us to continue to find compassion for Antonio Brown. I know it's the right thing to do. I wish I could do that, but damn, I can't. I'm tired. I am tired.
Foxy,
I hope
to your
get
point,
him the help he need, but I can't. I can no longer
point.
Go on TV or radio or write things that are like, but Antonio Brown is suffering from something.
Yeah,
I'm not
man.
A doctor. I don't know what he's suffering from. I hope he get it addressed, but y'all can't come to me expecting me to sit up here and be like, oh man, poor AB. Somebody need to talk to him. Get some help then, bro. You got money. You got plenty of time now, because you just quit. And Dan started this segment by talking about if he is still in good standing. He not in good standing. He did topless jumping jacks across the back of the end zone. That is called bad standing. And that's coming from me, former president of the Players Union. Like, I want to be players first. I want to fight for players in every situation. But I can't. I can't fight for that dude more.
You know, the tough thing, and Swag, let me jump in here, because the thing is, not only is this a different, you know, we can't speak to what's in Antonio Brown's head, but you make the point, Swag, you did earlier, and so did you, Neek, the idea of what this does to this team. Jeff, I want to turn to you real quick here. What kind of impact does this have on a team that wanted to repeat as Super Bowl champions?
It's devastating. Listen, and you know, Dominique last week said you had to be delusional. I was one of those delusional, so confession time. I thought he was going to be the catalyst, right? When Godwin went out, I thought he was going to be the guy to step up with Evans, you know, and the soft tissue injury and Leonard Fournette being out. I thought, man, this guy is going to carry this football team for the next couple of weeks. And then throughout the playoffs, he's still like the second most targeted player on their football team. Man, this is brutal for the Bucs. It's going to be quick, trying to find who's going to replace him. At least you got the GOAT, you know, trying to help you, man. But this is a devastating loss.
Indeed it is. We will see how that all plays out. In the meantime, let's talk about this.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We'll talk about it soon, I think.
It's coming.
That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw them out the club. Swagoo, throw them out the club. You see them?
One pancake.
Two pancakes. Three pancakes.
Just keep your toes off. That's all. It's okay if it's a little awkward sometimes. All right, Jeff, let's talk about some pancakes. Let's hand them out. Start with Nick Chubb, my friend.
Let's pass these things out, man. Hey, and we're going to start from last night.
No.
We're going to watch Nick Chubb. And I just want everybody to remember, this field is not a trampoline. So when that man bounces off the turf like that, that is firm, cold ground.
Oh!
And he's bouncing him up. That is some power from my man, Nick Chubb. Now, it's a little dude. He's like a little foxy dude. So I can't put it in there too big. But that's at least getting one pancake for the trampoline bounce. By my man Nick Chubb, such a big deal right there. Next up, Jamare Salyer. Listen, this is Aiden Hutchinson, the whatever, possibly the first pick in the draft. To get a pancake on a pass play is something special. When you catch a man and you called putting him on a peg, which means like you put a jacket on a peg, he picked that man up and put him on a peg and then into the dirt. Two pancakes for Salyer. Fantastic play. Unbelievable on a pass play. How beautiful is this thing to watch? Now, finally, Deion Dawkins. Hey, freight train's running. Get off the track, Swagoo. Get off the track. My man
takes
and runs right through him. How pretty is that? Tossed him out the club. Hey, he's lucky there was snow on the ground to soften the blow because he takes him dang near off the sideline with this hit. Three pancakes for my man Deion Dawkins for tossing him out the club and off the field simultaneously.
Look at Swag and Neek's faces.
I know. I thought we were friends. I get hyped for that segment. I don't like this segment anymore. We got TV.
Okay, Jeff, I got to give you one more chance, by the way. Let me give you one more chance. You have an all Madden moment. I want you to get into it.
Oh, man, listen, in memory of my man John Madden, watch Garrett Bradbury, center for the Minnesota Vikings, picking this thing up before it hits the turf. Immaculate reception, which we know Coach Madden was involved with, obviously on the wrong side of it. Look at the play. Ooh, you can just hear it say, boom, look at the hands right here. My man John Madden would have loved this play. And I just want to say this. When I think about John Madden, he was the reason that I got into TV. He actually was one of the first guys to look at me and go, Saturday, you would love doing this. I know everybody talks about his football, whether it's broadcasting, coaching. But let me tell you, he was an even better person. And it was all about relationships for John Madden. And, man, he was a great human being. He was always an encourager of others. I have so much respect and so much gratefulness for that man. What he did and what he did for our game, no one else can touch it. Got so much love for him. We're going to miss him. He was a great man and a great football man at that.
Well said, my friend. Well said. Well, coming up, disappointment in Dallas. Can the Cowboys really make noise in the playoffs if their offense is playing like this? We'll ask our former Cowboy next. And it's going from bad to worse in New York. What should the Giants do with their head coach after Sunday's epic rant? Oh, we're talking about that and a lot more coming up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you on Get Up, and so many moments last night in Browns-Steelers game. Ben Roethlisberger playing at Heinz Field for possibly the last time. Thank you, Seven, say the fans. Second quarter, no score. Ben to Deontay Johnson, 257th career touchdown at Heinz. What a moment that was. Fourth quarter, Browns down 19-7, and T.J. Watt. Oh, did he have an impact? Fourth sack of the game, 21 and a half on the season, one away from the record. There's Ben's family as he makes that move right there. The handoff to Najee Harris, who breaks it right there, runs it all the way to the end zone. They needed a first down basically to seal the win, and they got that and then some. Ben, happy, but he gets out on the field one more time after a Baker interception, takes a knee, and then let the emotion flow. This isn't goodbye, it's see you later. And look at him waving to the fans, giving high fives on the bench, feeling the emotions. The kids give him a hug, and he walks off into the tunnel with the family as the Browns stay in the playoff race, winning it 26-14. Good calls. It's brought to you by Subway. And Big Ben, he's made a lot of good calls during his 18 seasons with the Steelers. He and Mike Tomlin have won 135 regular season games together, tied for the second most for a quarterback coach duo in the Super Bowl era, but a ways back from Brady and Belichick. Now, how about them Cowboys? Can we talk about them? They're currently the 4 seed in the NFC after Sunday's loss to the Cardinals, in which Dallas managed just 45 yards on the ground. That's tying their fewest since 2017. Dallas had trouble stopping Kyler Murray. He threw for 263 yards and 2 touchdowns. What a game he had. No picks, by the way. And then the Cowboys, 10 interceptions in their previous 4 games, not making it happen in that one. The Cowboys lost wide receiver Michael Gallup to a torn ACL as well. In 9 games this season, he had 35 catches for 445 yards and was 3rd on the team in receiving yards per game. So you look at this, they sit in 4th of the AFC in the NFC, but they're not looking good right now. Cardinals 5th right now. It looks like they might face them. 93% chance to end up as the 4th seed. And then you look at the rest, 49ers, Eagles in, and the Saints still have a chance in that mix for that final spot. Let's bring in the whole team as we talk about them Cowboys. And look, I got to talk to our resident Cowboy, right? Swagoo. Answer me this, my friend. What is wrong with this Cowboys offense that we thought was so elite at the beginning of the season?
It's not explosive, too inconsistent, and they're not running the ball at a high enough clip in order to continue to do the things that we saw them do during the first 6-7 weeks of the season. And the issue has become now is that I think it's in their heads about they're trying to figure things out while the game is going on. You see miscommunication. You see timing problems. You got protection issues. A lot of things are transpiring with this offense that doesn't give you a lot of confidence going into the season. Now, I will say this. You had this game, you had 4 holding penalties that caused them to lose potential points on 3 of those 4 holding calls. You got a lot of things that's happening with this offense. Yeah. Tony Pollard not getting enough touches. Amari Cooper not having an impact on the game. We see CeeDee Lamb with Dak, they're on and off. Dalton Schultz getting whooped in the run game. Also being off, nothing is clicking. Nothing is easy. It used to be ease of travel for this offense. Everything looks like they're having to grind out yards. They're having to figure out things each and every single possession, and that's not a good setup for what you're about to play in. But here's what I will say. Based on the season that we've seen, if the Cowboys can get this fixed and can get hot, they can beat anybody on the NFC side.
Mm. You know what? It just makes me think that this might be the most schizophrenic team in the NFL, Nick, because on the one hand, you say, hey, they could match anybody for the Super Bowl. On the other hand, they look like a disaster sometimes. What is it with this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both encouraging and discouraging what Swagoo is saying is that there's always something different. And that makes you feel like, all right, there's not one big problem that that's like taking them down that they can't address. Like they can do all the things that Swagoo just mentioned. They can do all those things at an elite level. They just need to do it consistently and do it at the same time. So that makes you kind of fearful if you're a team that's facing them because you're like, man, I hope they don't do that against us. But it also makes you feel fearful if you're rooting for them because you're like, man,
I know if it ain't one thing, it's going to be the other. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with this team. They're volatile. And the same is true of their defense. Their defense is so reliant on turnovers and big plays that I'm not sure how good their defense is, which makes them volatile. When they don't have a week where they create a couple turnovers, I'm not sure that they can get the stops that they need. But also, when they do have those weeks where it seems like they can get a sack fumble anytime they want it, or Trayvon Diggs is going to come down with any ball that's thrown on his third of the field, that is good enough to beat anybody in the NFL. So who knows what to believe with this Cowboys team right now.
You do not know what you're going to get with this team in the playoffs. And Graz, here's the other thing. I wonder about this team in terms of it being elite. And you mentioned something really interesting when we talked earlier in our meeting before the show, the fact that you had talked to scouts about the matchup with Arizona and the kinds of problems it presented for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, a couple people I talked to yesterday, Ryan, said, you know, Arizona does such a good job of disguising on defense pre-snap, and that, you know, Dak Prescott has many strengths, but even at his best, like, diagnosing that was never the top of those strengths. And so the matchup kind of played into a way you can kind of get Dak out of rhythm. And this Cowboys offense definitely has no rhythm right now. I mean, look, I sat there on Sunday and watched the Chiefs play the Bengals, and I was fired. I mean, like, this is, I was like, forget Jeff Saturday. This is how you play football. They're airing it out. This is why we watch. This is exciting. All that kind of, and then I put the Cowboys on, and I'm like, oh, really? This is, like, they want to compete with these kinds of teams come playoff time? Offense does not look right. It does not look explosive. It does not look exciting, and there's all kinds of issues there. I agree with Swagoo. There's a lot wrong, and I think it's really hard to pinpoint exactly what it is. That's why you hear some people theorizing about it, but Arizona would be their matchup right now in round one, and that doesn't look like a good one for them.
Yeah, and Jeff, I got to come to you on this. We just put up a really interesting graphic. Ezekiel Elliott has not rushed for more than 60 yards since week six. Jeff, I know you like the ground and pound.
Oh, gosh.
What does this say about this team?
Well, let me just make sure I lay this all out for all the Cowboys fans really quickly. You know, Dan's talking about how fun football is. Let me just say this. You're not explosive and you're not physical, so you ain't scary. So let's make sure we're real clear on that part, right? Since the Cowboys, since Dak has been back, they rank 31st in run rate, which means they run the ball 31st in the league. That's how many attempts they have. So you're telling me you're the seventh best run blocking football team in the NFL, but you run it at the 31st rate. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You're not explosive. I don't know where Amari Cooper's been. We talked about going to have 3 1,000-yard wide receivers at the beginning of this season. Absolute trash. When you think about this football team, everybody got excited because they beat Washington. That's why everybody was fired. We got it all fixed, man. We beat Washington twice and the Giants one time. We are back in action. You ain't played nobody. You ain't beat nobody since 8 weeks ago. I don't understand how everybody's excited about how this team's going to be scary. I'm going to tell you this. You travel in football by putting that thing in ground and pound.
Oh,
y'all can make fun of whatever you want. But your boy Dak.
You tried to trick us.
Hey, your cousin
you
Dak.
You tried to trick us.
Fox. Your boy Dak don't look nearly as good when they ain't leading the league in rushing. I'm just letting you know. Everything fits together. That back thing opens up when you smash through in that run game, and it ain't doing it right now.
Not wrong with those stats in there gentlemen. To trick us when we knew you were just coming back to
just laying the foundation.
And by the way, if you guys think that's all the Cowboys' problems, in the next hour, we're going to talk about Mike McCarthy and his game management. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But speaking of teams the Cowboys beat, how about them Giants staying in the NFC East? Been outscored by 92 points during their 5-game losing streak. And after losing in Chicago on Sunday, head coach Joe Judge defended his team and the progress that they are supposedly making. Take a listen.
This ain't a team that's having fistfights on the sidelines. This ain't some clown show organization or something else, okay? You talk about the foundation built. You talk about the things that the toughest thing to change in a team, the toughest thing to change in a club is the way people think. You understand that? That's the toughest thing. You can get new players. You can have them in your damn locker room all you want. You got to change how people think. And you got to change how they believe in what you're doing. And they got to trust the process. And that's a lot easier said than done when they're looking up right now and you got one game left and the most games you're going to win is 5 this season.
Now, guys, Nick, how can I not go to you?
What do you think when you hear that?
Man. First of all, he considers a success that nobody's punching people on the sideline. Like, you're comparing yourself to what happened in Washington earlier this season. Like, we good now. We headed in the right direction because people don't got golf clubs in the locker room and ain't nobody punching each other on the sideline. Like, to me, you build a culture with your actions. You don't build it. You don't convince people of a culture by doing all this high school rah-rah stuff that he does. And I know he says that that's not what he's doing, but it feels like he is kind of trying to project something that he can't yet because he doesn't have the credentials. Like, in all the things that I heard him say, at no point did I hear him, and maybe I missed this part, but at no point did I hear him take any responsibility and talk about what he's got to do better. Like, you got this job before you have, like, the traditional credentials in this situation. So you don't have the pelts on the wall to be talking about what you know and how things are supposed to be and how you're going to get the right people and how things need to be done. Like, you don't have that yet. You are not Bill Belichick. Like, you need to be coming from a place of, we are working to get better. I have things that I need to get better on. The players are fighting hard for me. We are disappointed in this season. You can't convince people that you are building some sort of culture. You have to do it with your actions.
Yeah, Swagoo, if you're in that locker room, how do you take this? Because I was just mystified. I wanted to do this segment because I just didn't understand why he's saying these things.
We can't explain it to you.
Well, how I take it is, if I play for the Giants, I'm looking for one of them 31 other teams to see if they got any spots on their roster, number one, based on what's happening in New York. And the second thing is, when Joe Judge speaks like that, he got to realize, bro, you have no clout in the game. To Fox's point, like, you standing up talking about a culture, we don't know if you can even build a damn culture. You are 10-22, bro. That is a bad culture. Okay, we watching Zach Taylor right now go to the playoffs. I thought Zach Taylor was gonna get fired, but he's built something over there. You can start to see things materialize. Even last year, before things started to materialize, and there's a lot of blame to go around. And look, when we had this New York Giants conversation, first and foremost, I know Joe Judge is on the hot seat. The New York Giants ownership need to decide what direction they want this football team to go. Right. It's been coaches been fired. They didn't had assistant. Jason Garrett had just left Dallas where he couldn't score 10 points on you. And you hire him as the offensive coordinator. So it's a lot of things. But organizationally, from the ownership issue in New York, is they have to figure out how to let football people make these decisions. Not Gettleman and not Joe Judge. They need to figure out people that's done it in this league at a very high level, or they can holler at Louis Riddick and he can get things fixed in New York.
There you go. Right. Jeff Saturday, by the way, has been shaking his head for about 10 minutes. Just a constant stream of Jeff.
Bro, I do not understand this even a little bit. Like tough guys don't last in the NFL. Like, if he watched Bill Belichick, Belichick ain't tough with the media, right? Like, he's tough in his locker room. The conversations that have to be had need to be had in your locker room. And by the way, you know what builds culture? Winning. That's what builds culture for guys. He's like, man, players want to stay here. They want to be. Yeah, why do they want to stay there, man? Because they know the losing don't matter. Hey, I don't have to win. I can still stick around and get paid. That's why they want to stick around, bro. If you got guys coming to your office saying, I want to stick here winning 4 games a season, I don't want them dudes on my team. I'm just going to be clear with everybody. They better want to win, not just hang around. I mean, this is an embarrassment of what he's talking about on here. I don't even understand in a little bit. Guys come to my office telling me they want to stay here. Who wants to stay here winning 4 games? I was miserable the one day we didn't have Peyton Manning. We lost 2 games. I mean, we won 2 games. I was freaking miserable, bro. I would have signed up to leave. If we can't win, I don't want to be there. If we're winning 4 and you want to stay there, hey, Joe, you want to find another guy, bro. Just letting you know.
Man, hold on, Jeff. Them checks still clearing. I'll ride it out. Them checks still clearing. We take a couple of hits.
Yeah. Hey, I would too. Now,
Meredith,
I'll hang around for that.
45. Grads, right, where do we go from here?
What was that?
Where do we go from here? I mean, he says it's not a clown show organization. It shows an overwhelming lack of self-awareness. Where do we go from here if you're the Giants?
He's trying to convince us that before you can win on the field, you have to build a foundation, and you can't see the foundation we're building. That's the point he's trying to make. Swagoo's right. comparison is a good one. If Joe Judge is back next year, he needs a third season like the one Zach Taylor just had. Because you go back a year, there was nothing to like about what Zach Taylor was putting together in Cincinnati, and now all of a sudden there is. If Judge can pull that off, then maybe we're talking about something.
Well, get him and left him with Daniel Jones, so good luck.
Hey. Yeah, hey, let me just say this. The clown organization beat him the first time, might beat him the second time. They throwing punches on the sideline, they're still winning. I wouldn't be throwing the clowns having fights on the sideline because they already beat you one time.
Oh, man, can you imagine? All right, well, coming up, speaking of that turnaround organization, did Joe Burrow's performance on Sunday against the Chiefs change everything in the AFC? Will Patrick Mahomes be watching the Super Bowl this year instead of playing in it? We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back to Get Up. Well, it's Tuesday, so it's time for Overreaction Tuesday with Dan Graziano. And Dan, let's get your overreactions or not for this week. Joe Burrow will win a Super Bowl title with the Bengals. Overreaction or not?
It is not an overreaction. How can you not be excited about what's going on in Cincinnati right now? If you draft a quarterback, number one overall, your hope is that he can change the way the franchise, the roster, and the fan base feels about itself. Joe Burrow has done that. This is not a team that thinks it can beat the Chiefs. This is a team that thinks it should beat the Chiefs. There is every reason to be excited and dream the biggest dreams right now if you are a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Indeed. The Raiders head coach opening is better than the Jaguars opening.
I think it's an overreaction because there's one big issue in Las Vegas, which is the contract status of Derek Carr. 1 year left, non-guaranteed. Who's going to come in and run the organization? What are they going to do with that? Do you believe in him? I still think there are more people out there that would rather try and coach Trevor Lawrence from something like scratch than go to a situation where they're not sure what the future at quarterback is.
Okay, the Titans are now the clear AFC favorites.
Overreaction because I don't think there is one. I don't think you can say anyone's the clear AFC favorite. Look, I've personally covered two Titans games this year where they ran for over 200 yards and turned it over four times and lost. If that's possible on any given week, you can't call them the clear favorite for anything. I like them. I love what Mike Vrabel and his coaching staff have done. The idea of getting Derrick Henry back and a first-round bye should scare teams, but I don't think there's a clear favorite in the AFC.
It has been a jumble at the top of the AFC for weeks, and after the Titans went over the Dolphins on Sunday, coupled with the Chiefs' loss, Tennessee is now the top seed in the AFC, and the Titans can clinch home field in the AFC with a win Sunday over Houston. You got five teams still alive for the final two spots. So, guys, I want to get your picks then. Let's just go through this. Which team has the best chance to win the AFC? Nick, I'll start with you.
I want to say the Bengals and swag champ Joe Burrow after what they did to the Chiefs last weekend, but I'm still high on that Patrick Mahomes. I don't care how rough this season has been for him. I got to go with the Chiefs. They've done it quite a few times in recent history. I still expect them to prevail in the playoffs more than I do any other team.
Graz, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. Again, don't think it's obvious. Don't think it's easy, but they have the pedigree. I'm not going to dock them too much for a three-point loss on the road to a quarterback and a team that's rolling like the Bengals are right now.
Jeff?
Tennessee Titans. Listen, if you think about what Mike Vrabel's done, who, by the way, is going to be Coach of the Year, they've used 88 players, and they still are going to have the one seed and get the bye. When you think about the amount of wins they've had against playoff teams, they have six. Kansas City, two. Cincy, three. So you're telling me with the amount of players they've had to use, the amount of wins they've gotten, I've got to go Tennessee Titans as the favorite.
And I got to go with the Chiefs just because I got to stop jumping on bandwagons and off bandwagons. Because a couple weeks ago, Patriots, everybody was talking about them. Then it was the Titans. Now the Chiefs lose by three to the Bengals, who are about as hot as anybody in the league. And now we're jumping off their bandwagon. So I'm going to stay with you, Chiefs. Do not prove me wrong. Thank you, guys. And let's talk about the performance of the night. Trey Young and the Hawks visiting the Blazers. Take you to the first. Hawks down seven. Young pulling up for the deep three. and doing it right there. Later, time winding down in the half. Young, deeper three. Boom. Young, 29 points at halftime. Hawks down by five. Third quarter, 3:38 remaining. Young, the drive, the scoop layup. Perfect. Hawks taking the lead. Later, Hawks down one again. And Young, yeah, I hit threes, is what I do. Hawks up five after three. Fourth quarter, 3 minutes remaining. Down eight. Trae Young, didn't I tell you I hit threes? He does it again and again. 56 points in this one, 14 assists. But the Blazers were too much. Anthony Simons hits Nurkic for the lay-in. 43 for Simons, 7 assists. And the Blazers win it by 5 despite a big night for Trae Young. And what a game for Young. 56 points are one off the Hawks franchise record shared by Dominique Wilkins, Bob Pettit, and Lou Hudson. Only James Harden has had more assists in a 50-point game than Young did last night. Well, coming up, it's a tale of two quarterbacks. Big Ben's emotional farewell to Pittsburgh, while Baker Mayfield has a miserable Monday night. Do both teams need new quarterbacks? We'll talk about that.